Now, you might be wondering, that's a different kind of stole that Father John's wearing today. Well, it was a stole that was made for me by a dear friend when I was in the International Diocese, when I was way up in the Great White North, Buffalo. This is a symbol Jewish believers and believers who are Christian that believe that we are children of Abraham. So let me explain it to you, especially helpful today because of today's gospel and today's message that the Lord has put on my heart. If you know what a menorah is, it's the candelabra that was in the temple. Now there's two different kinds of menorahs. There's the menorah for Hanukkah, which has eight candles because it's 8 days. And then there's the seven, which is the normal candle, which is used at the Shabbat or the Sabbath, which we're going to talk about today. Then it goes down into what's called the Star of David. And you notice they're connected. So you've got the law of Moses connected to the Star of David, the Davidic king. And look what happens after that. It goes down to the ichthus. How many people have an ichthus on their car? A little fish? A fish. It's the Greek word for fish. But the ichthus is one of those anagrams that the first letter means everything. And it's Jesus Christos Theos Huios Soter. That's Greek. And it's Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. So what you have here is you have Judaism connected to Davidic king, to Christianity. And so Jewish believers, or Messianic Jews, love this, and Christians love this, because we're grafted in. Romans 11, 17. That'll be your homework for today. Okay? I just thought I'd explain it to you. I have a keychain in my pocket, which has the little dongle on it, which I got in Israel the first time I was there. And it's got that symbol. I use it a lot. And I know a lot of other people. See, when early Christians, followers of the way, before they were named Christians, if they wanted to talk to you about Jesus and weren't sure whether you were with them or not, they would draw half a fish in the sand or in the dirt. And if a person came along and finished the symbol, the ichthus, then you knew you were safe. Because the Romans didn't know that symbol. It was sort of like okay to talk. So it's okay to talk today, because we're all followers of the way. And in today's gospel, we have Jesus confusing some of the people who are not followers of the way. Now, I want to define for you the word Sabbath. I went out to the all-famous dictionary.com, and the word Sabbath is defined this way: the seventh day of the week, Saturday, as the day of rest and religious observance among Jews and some Christians, Seventh-day Adventists. The first day of the week, Sunday, is similarly observed by most Christians in commemoration of the resurrection of Christ. It's also any special day of prayer or rest resembling the Sabbath. Now the Hebrew word, see, I gave you some Greek and now I'm going to give you a Hebrew word. The Hebrew word for Sabbath is very simple. It's called Shabbat. Okay? And it's commanded by God, the day of rest. Now it's important for us to remember what God commanded the Shabbat for. He said it was for mankind and not for himself. He gave us an example of resting on the seventh day when he created the world. But God doesn't need to recharge his batteries, but he sure knows that we do. Is there anybody here that doesn't need a day off now and again? I know I do, from time to time. When God talks about rest, he's not saying, shut yourself off in your room and don't see or talk to anybody. It's, in other words, don't work. Do things that you enjoy doing. Now, God gave Moses the law, the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. And we heard something this morning read eloquently by our brother Sam. He read from Deuteronomy chapter 5, 12 through 15. And he said, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day, it's a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, or your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. And the Jewish people, especially the legalists that want to do everything to the nth degree, you know, they want to dot the I's and cross the T's for every little thing and carry it out, they take it very seriously, especially the more orthodox ones. Both times that we visited Israel in 1999 and in 2014, Friday night begins the Shabbat at sundown. And in the hotel that they have, or where you're staying, there's a specific elevator that is marked Shabbat elevator. And if you go into it, all the buttons are lit, because they consider pushing a button is work. I know, I see your faces. But again, that's taking it to the nth degree. You have the option to take a regular elevator and get on and push the button for your floor. But for those that observe, they give the Shabbat elevator. And they're all lit. So you don't have to exert yourself by pushing a button. Now, it could be trivial, but that's sort of legalistic. And Jesus meets this head on in today's gospel as his disciples are walking along with him, picking some heads of grain. Now, I just want to explain to you that some of the legalists, you know, God gave you the outline for what the Sabbath should be, as Sam and I just read. But the people added to it, and the elevator buttons and things like that, how far you could walk on the Sabbath day. Hey, we didn't have Camaros or pickup trucks to jump into or an SUV. They had an ox or a donkey. So it was outlined what they could and could not do. That outline was given by the people, to the people. The priests and the teachers of the law added all these nth degrees. And so the Pharisees, who were always trying to trap Jesus, they were looking for every little thing to ask questions and try to push him to the wall. And they said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Now, this event is also recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, and Luke, chapter 6. Jesus and his disciples were walking, but they were walking to the synagogue. They were going to worship, not walking for pleasure or even health, but they were heading to worship God. And they were hungry. And the Pharisees, they tried to trap Jesus and his followers with that slightest misstep, and they were ready to pounce. And they asked that question. Well, Jesus' reply to them was sort of a tease, but it sure packs a strong punch. Listen to this. He doesn't deny that the disciples are out of line with the traditional Sabbath observance, but Jesus speaks of previous circumstances and a scriptural precedent. He said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God, the temple, and ate the consecrated bread, the show bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Here Jesus puts himself on a par with King David. Did you hear that? In a time when David, who had already been anointed by Samuel, but was not yet on the throne because Saul was still alive, and he was still king. David, at this point in his life, was on the run from Saul, trying to get support and waiting for his time to take the throne. When you think about it, Jesus' words must have taken the Pharisees by surprise, with the implication of Jesus saying that he is the true king, anointed by God, but he was not yet recognized and on his throne. Another interesting thing that Jesus brought to mind was that he pointed to Abiathar at the high priest. But history tells us that when David went to get the bread, Abiathar was not yet the high priest. His father, Abimelech, was the high priest. You see the parallel Jesus was drawing here? Another example of someone waiting to assume his special place. And Jesus, believe it or not, was the master of using parallels to point to himself. When Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, God the Father said at that time, as the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove, he said, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Recorded in Mark chapter 1, verse 11. Jesus was implying that he, therefore, like David, has the right, when he and his people are hungry, to bypass the normal regulations, the man-made regulations. In other words, this kind of Sabbath breaking was a deliberate sign, like the refusal to fast, a sign that the king is here, that the kingdom is here. The new creation is already making itself known in the old world. Now, all of this came to a summation, which probably puzzled those hearing at the time, hearing Jesus speak, as probably as it does to much of the people today. Remember, Jesus said, "Let him who has ears hear." As Jesus made these parallels and made these examples, there were people that understood right away because they had ears to hear and they had the ability to understand. But there were others that were puzzled, because they were not called as of yet. Jesus gives a combined comment about the Sabbath and his own authority. And it's the second of 13 times that Jesus refers to the Son of Man in Mark. And it reinforces himself as the messianic figure to the first century Jews, discovered in Daniel 7. Those whose arrival and enthronement signals the start of God's kingdom. Jesus doesn't mean that just any human being is Lord of the Sabbath, but that it's the Messiah, the true representative human being, has authority over institutions that might otherwise repress humans and their choices. Jesus' actions and its explanation were more than just a coded messianic message or a coded messianic claim, and that in him a new day was dawning in the kingdom of Israel, in which even Israel's God-given laws could be seen in a new light. You might remember when the Pharisees were asking why the apostles were eating without washing their hands. And Jesus said, "It's not what goes into a man's mouth that makes him unclean. It's what comes out of his mouth that makes him unclean." You know, when I was growing up in the 50s and 60s, yes, I'm that old, everything was closed on Sunday. It was called Blue Laws. And I mean, the only thing that might be open besides churches was one gas station. And they would rotate, so that they didn't have to always be open. But if, in case you ran out of gas, you could stop at that gas station and get a fill up. Well, suddenly more and more places succumbed to pressure until it was the rare business that was closed on the Sabbath. I can't tell you how absolutely refreshing it was when Marilyn and I got to visit Douglas in July of 2014 and find almost everything closed on a Sunday. That was really nice. There's a few things that are open. Well, that's growing more and more. You know, like Ruby Tuesdays is open and other places. But there are other restaurants that are closed. There are other stores that are closed. But the day of rest was seriously meant to be followed. And we were glad to be here. We are glad to be here. Jesus saying that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath suggests that when the well-being of man conflicts with the observance of this Sabbath, The Sabbath has to give way. Mankind is not to judge, because we can't judge with impartiality our own interests. It's not about prophets, and I don't mean P-R-O-P-H-E-T-S. I'm talking prophets. No one's capable of judging all this, what all this pertains to the well-being of mankind. Only the Lord knows this. And as for this reason, Jesus adds, "So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Well, to interpret that, I believe that this means that the Son of Man came to provide for mankind's welfare. And as the Sabbath law might need to be modified for the highest good of humanity, therefore, lordship over the Sabbath was given to the Son of Man. Now, we know who the Son of Man is, and that's Jesus our Lord. So this gospel, in closing, this gospel message teaches not that men might violate the law of the Sabbath when their welfare demanded it, but that Jesus, as Lord, as Messiah, could set it aside when his own judgment of mankind's well-being required him to. Jesus made it clear on this occasion that this law was not meant to be interpreted as to prevent mankind from providing necessary food on the Sabbath. When Jesus said that he was the Lord of the Sabbath, he said, as Lord, he was greater than the law and above the law. To the Pharisees, this was absolute heresy. This was what they were looking for. This was one of the things that they wanted to nail him on. And boy, didn't they. Must have been driving them nuts. They didn't realize that Jesus, the divine only Son of God, had created the Sabbath in the first place. The Creator is always greater than the creation. And because of this, Jesus had the authority to overrule their traditions and regulations. He told Moses that when he gave him the commandment. For in 6 days, he said, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Exodus 20, verse 11. My brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Messiah, is the Lord of the Sabbath. He made it. And so we should keep it holy as well. You know what people say in Israel on the Sabbath day? Shabbat Shalom. Shalom being peace. And so I give you Shabbat Shalom. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.